Our scripture this morning is found in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 through 6. Hebrews 6, verses 1 through 6. Therefore, leaving the elementary teaching about the Christ, let us press on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and faith in God, of resurrection, or instruction about washing and the laying on of hands, and the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. For in the case of those who have once been enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have been made partakers of the Holy Spirit, and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, and then have fallen away, it is impossible to renew them again to repentance, since they again crucify to themselves the Son of God and put Him to an open shame. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we come to one of the most troubling passages, but also one of the most hope-filled passages of Scripture. We pray that you will give us insight through the presence and power of your Holy Spirit, and that it will make a difference in our lives today, we pray. Amen. Last Sabbath, you will remember, I showed you my little Lego Jesus. And we talked about Legos and simple little caricatures or things that can be built with Legos, as well as big complex things. And we used that as a backdrop to begin a journey that Hebrews introduced us to about the need for spiritual growth. We learned last Sabbath the need to grow, the challenge to grow, so that we would know Jesus better. And we closed our worship service singing more about Jesus. More about Jesus. And we learned last week the connection between growing in Jesus, learning more about Jesus, and actually experiencing Him more deeply. And that some are challenged. Some of us are challenged with the reality that we may not have been growing in Christ, growing in a knowledge of Him, so that we cannot understand even deeper things about Jesus that will actually enhance our relationship with Him more deeply. This morning, I want to ask the question, because we left last Sabbath asking ourselves the question, am I growing in Christ? And I know that that was stirring to several of you, because we've had some dialogue since. So I ask the question this morning, are you growing in Christ Jesus? But this morning I want to ask even a more fundamental question. And that is whether or not you are converted. Are you converted? What does conversion look like? What happens in a person's life when they are converted? Can you tell whether or not you are converted? And if you are converted, how would you know for sure? What are some of the evidences of conversion experience in your life? Last Sabbath, as our elders met during a time of retreat, an important question was asked us. The same kind of question that was asked by Jesus to Nicodemus. You'll remember that Nicodemus came to Jesus because he was stirred with the things that he saw taking place in the life and through the ministry of Jesus. And so Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. You read about it in John 3. You read about it in the book Desire of Ages. And Jesus just skipped over the things that Nicodemus wanted to talk to and zeroed right in on the reality of being born again. And he says, unless you're born again, unless you're converted, you cannot see the kingdom of heaven. You won't be able to understand the kingdom of heaven, let alone enter the kingdom of heaven. And you'll remember the dialogue back and forth about the wind and the Spirit. And you can't see the wind and you can't see the Holy Spirit, but you need to be born of water and the Spirit. And then you really experience power in your life, transforming power. And Nicodemus struggled with that, and so Jesus asked Nicodemus that question. He says, are you a teacher in Israel, and you do not understand these things? And it raises the reality. The statistics would say that in our congregation today, are you a Seventh-day Adventist Christian and don't understand these things? Have you been coming to church from Sabbath to Sabbath and you don't understand these matters of conversion and being reborn, which enables you to see the kingdom of heaven in a new light, to see Jesus in a new way? And so our passage of Hebrews today brings us to one of its four impossibilities. Four times the book of Hebrews, or the writer to Hebrews, says that something is impossible. First of all, it is impossible for God to lie. Take that to the bank. It's impossible for God to lie. What He has told us in His Word is trustworthy and dependable. It's impossible for God to lie. Secondly, it's impossible for the blood of goats and bulls to take away sin. We read that in Hebrews chapter 10. The only thing that can take away sin and bring forgiveness and cleansing and transformed life is the blood of Jesus Christ. And as we wend our way through Hebrews, we will learn how the blood of Jesus cleanses our guilty conscience from dead works to serve the living God. It's impossible for anything else to cleanse us from sin. It's also impossible to please God if we do not have faith. No matter how many tithes we bring, no matter how many years we work in Sabbath school divisions, no matter what it is that we do that has religious tones to it or obedience matters to it, without faith that believes that God exists and He's the rewarder of those who seek Him, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Wow. The fourth one is troubling. It is impossible to return to repentance those who openly turn their backs on Jesus after experiencing conversion. Now, our passage today is one of the most debated passages of the Scriptures, because it revolves around the question of once saved, always saved. Can you lose your salvation? And it makes people nervous to read the reality that it's impossible to be renewed again to repentance if they've followed a certain path in their life. But yet this same passage, which is very troubling and can be very disconcerting, raises some of the most precious things about our relationship with God and the benefits of salvation. So in this, just to give us a connection between last week and this week. Last week, we learned about what it means to be dull of hearing. That because of lack of spiritual growth, because of spiritual infancy, we cannot grasp deeper things about Jesus. And because of that, we can't grow in Christ. Right? And we learned about the reality of elementary principles, both of Scripture and elementary teachings about Jesus. Elementary things that you can never leave behind, but things that become building blocks for deeper things. If you stay with the building blocks and never go to the deeper things, you will lose your grip on Jesus. That's what Hebrews is telling us. And so it moves now down in the discussion. If you are not growing, if we are not growing, we place ourselves in a situation where we can fall away. And not only can we fall away, lose our grip on Jesus, but we can lose our grip on Jesus in a way that we can never get a hold of Him again. Now this is solemn, straightforward speaking. However, tucked in the middle of these two ideas are some profound thoughts about conversion, about being born again, about an experience with Jesus. And for a few moments, I want us to look at these. Hebrews 4 to 6a, for in the case of those who have once been enlightened, right? Now we're moving into the experience of conversion, and have tasted of the heavenly gift, and have been made partakers of the Holy Spirit, and have tasted the good word of God, and the powers of the age to come, and then have fallen away. All right? When we step back and look at this verse, we learn about spiritual enlightenment. At some point, the Holy Spirit flicks a switch in our ability to see and perceive and understand spiritual moral matters. All right? And this is part of spiritual awakening. It's part of being born again. That's why Jesus says, unless you're born of water and spirit, you can't see the kingdom of heaven. But if you are born of the Spirit and water, you can see. You've been enlightened. You have eyes to grasp spiritual dimensions of life and death and eternity. Not only so, but you taste the heavenly gift. And in the Greek, the word translated taste is to experience something. If you taste something, you know when you go to a place where they sell gelato ice cream, or you go to Cold Stones and you're looking at all the different flavors, and they hold up a little spoon for you to taste for yourself. Yes, this is what I want. All right. So tasting of the heavenly gift is one of experience, and that heavenly gift is salvation, but you know as well as I know that in the New Testament, that heavenly gift is the Holy Spirit. And so it's talking about experiencing the Holy Spirit, because when Jesus ascended at the right hand of the Father and sat down, He poured out the Holy Spirit. Peter said on the day of Pentecost, repent and be baptized every one of you for the remission of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that gift is from heaven. And conversion is the experiencing of that heavenly gift that brings with it forgiveness and cleansing and great assurance in Jesus Christ. But then there is the partaking of the Holy Spirit. And that word partaking has to do with community and fellowship, that I am partaking of something along with others, and I am sharing in something. In fact, two verses in Hebrews translate this word companion. The word partake means companion. All right? So conversion has to do with a companionship, a fellowship, an experience with the Holy Spirit where there is relationship. All right? We don't receive a impersonal power. We receive the Holy Spirit, who has power. Incredible power, right? And that power enables us to taste the good word of God, or experience the good word of God, like the two men on the road to Emmaus. You will remember Jesus was sharing the meaning of Scripture in relationship to Himself, and their hearts burned within them. That's what the Holy Spirit enables us to experience. The Word of God burning in our hearts, where it becomes a joy and a rejoicing in our hearts, where we love the Word. The Word of God is better than the TV, better than the news, better than other things because there the Word of God is good and we've experienced it and it's doing something in our lives. And then we have the imagery of the powers of the age to come. These are life-changing powers that the Holy Spirit brings to us. Amen? And, excuse me, conversion is a tasting of those powers because now we become new creatures in Jesus. Things that we used to love, we no longer love. Things that we used to not enjoy, not like, we now enjoy them. And we are and have become someone different in our values and our choices. Amen? That is what conversion is about. That is what the power of the Holy Spirit brings to our lives. Just real quickly, when you look at the work of the Holy Spirit in the book of Hebrews, you will find that Hebrews speaks and appeals through Scripture. We've already learned this in chapter 3 where it says, just as the Holy Spirit says today, today if you hear His voice, do not harden your heart. Repeatedly, this Holy Spirit is seen as speaking to us through the Holy Word of God. He inspired the Word, and that the Word of God is still alive. It is still active. It can still penetrate into the innermost part of our being because the Holy Spirit, who inspired it, is speaking to us as it is shared to us or as we read it. Also, the Holy Spirit brings us the powers of the age to come, as we've already seen. And also, I love verse 29 of chapter 10, where the Holy Spirit is referred to as the Spirit of grace. We've already learned about the throne of grace. We've learned how we can come to the throne of grace and receive mercy and find strength to help in the time of need. And at this throne of grace, there is the Spirit of grace. There's a throne of grace and a Spirit of grace. And as we are there at the throne of grace, it is the Spirit of grace who mediates the realities of that throne of grace to us individually in our lives. Amen? How privileged we are to have the Holy Spirit at work in our lives. And also, if you read in chapter 9, verse 8, where it says the Holy Spirit signifies this, or the Holy Spirit is explaining this or making something clear, it's in relationship to the teaching of the sanctuary. Thank you. It's in relationship to the teaching of the sanctuary. And understanding the deeper things of the sanctuary with respect to the work of Jesus in our behalf. And so when you are studying the sanctuary, the tabernacle service, you can sense that the Holy Spirit is there to teach and to lead. And also the Holy Spirit bears witness with us about certain truths, about the covenant, the new covenant, that God will write His will on our hearts and our minds, which is conversion, by the way. God not only forgives our sins, not only is God merciful to our transgressions, but He places His law, His will in our mind and in our hearts. And as Ellen White says, He identifies Himself so much with our hearts and our minds and blends our hearts and our minds into conformity with His will that when we do His will, we're but carrying out our own impulses. That is conversion. That is the power of the Holy Spirit and ultimately the bearer of spiritual gifts. Look with me here in Hebrews chapter 2. I love this verse, Hebrews 2, verse 4. Hebrews 2, verse 4. This is in the context of the preaching of the gospel in the first century. And we are told that in the context of the preaching of the gospel in the first century, God Himself was standing by those who were preaching the gospel, bearing witness to the truth of the gospel through signs and wonders and various kinds of miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to His will. And whenever I recite this, whenever I read this, I say to myself, and I say it out loud to God sometimes, Lord, where are the signs and the wonders and the various kinds of miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit in our century, in our day, that confirm the preaching of Your Word in hearts today? Where are the changed lives? Where are the decisions for Christ? Where are people changing and having a difference made in their lives because of the Word of God and the work of the Holy Spirit? I think we can ask for those things. And I can tell you, brothers and sisters, whenever you see a converted man or woman, whenever you see somebody's value systems change because they have become connected with Christ and their habits and their lifestyle changes, that is a sign and wonder and miracle and a gift of the Holy Spirit. And when we learn love, when we learn patience, when we learn self-discipline, when we learn temperance, when we experience these things in our lives, those are evidences of the Holy Spirit at work in our life. Amen. As we learned last week in Ephesians, just looking at it now from a slightly different passage of frame of reference, we find that the Apostle Paul is praying on a regular basis for the Christians in Ephesians or in Ephesus. He says, "I pray that you will be strengthened with power by the Holy Spirit in the inner man." And that is the promise, all right? That the Holy Spirit can give us power where we really need it. And that is deep down inside. I was talking to somebody just yesterday about addictions and how subtle addictions are and how individuals can want to be free of addictions, but there's something that's sticky about addictions, and they come back up even when you don't want them to come back up. And that's because of something that's intrinsic deep down inside. And that is why we need the Holy Spirit at work inside us, who we are in our inner private world. And the Holy Spirit enables that. And when the Holy Spirit does enable that, Jesus dwells in our heart. And then we are able to comprehend. We're able to rise to another level of thinking where we comprehend the breadth and the length and the depth and the heights, and we move from the elementary teaching about Christ to deeper things and experience His love and the depth of His love in our life. This is the goal of the work of the Holy Spirit. And this is what Hebrews is talking to us about this morning, about being born of water and of Spirit and being transformed by the Holy Spirit. And so, what Hebrews is telling us is that through the Holy Spirit, the powers and the presence of the future age are continually available to us in Jesus Christ. Amen? Not just here and there, but continually available in our journey, in our walk. The unbelievably possible powers of heaven. You see, Hebrews will talk about four things that are impossible. But here it is telling us something that is possible. Incredible, unbelievable possibility of assurance in Jesus Christ and power, empowerment in Jesus Christ, that we can have radically changed lives. And that's why Hebrews will place this in the middle of this discussion of lack of growth and where lack of growth can take us. If we're not growing, we can lose our grip on Jesus. And we can lose our grip on Jesus to the place where we won't be able to get a hold of Him again. And so in the middle of it, He gives us this picture. A great salvation has great consequences if you let it go. Jesus is above all. And if Jesus truly is above all, why would you ever want to let Him go? And that brings me then to the question of conversion and the staying power of conversion. How often should a person be converted? Well, obviously, there's the once, in the context of Hebrews, there is the once-for-all experience that turns you in the direction of Jesus. But yet then there is the ongoing, deepening experience with Christ that maintains that conversion. And Ellen White speaks of it as a daily experience. Genuine conversion is needed, not once in years, but daily. This conversion brings man and woman into a new relation with God. Old things, his natural passions and hereditary and cultivated tendencies to wrong pass away, and he's renewed and sanctified. Amen. Thank God for the life-changing, regenerating, cleansing work of the Holy Spirit. But this work must be continual. All right? And this is what Hebrews is arguing about. This work must be continual. For as long as Satan exists, he will make an effort to carry on his work. He who strives to serve God will encounter a strong undercurrent of wrong. Have you found that? And that undercurrent of wrong can be friends, it can be peers, it can be people in the workplace, it can be contemporary culture, it can be a billboard. But that undercurrent of wrong also is part of who we are. And how do we relate to that undercurrent of wrong? His heart needs to be barricaded by constant watchfulness and prayer, or else the embankment will give away, and like a millstream, the undercurrent of wrong will sweep away the safeguard. And now the conclusion, no renewed heart can be kept in condition of sweetness without the daily application of the salt of the Word. I like those words, the salt of the Word. Daily application of the Word. Daily prayer, daily Bible study, daily meditation, daily coming reverently to God, even on days we don't want to and don't feel like it. We come for the salt of the Word. Divine grace must be received daily, or no man or woman, young person or old person, will stay converted. And you know, Hebrews is arguing that if you've tasted Jesus and you've experienced all that He is, and then you let Him go, what else is there to taste? So go deeper in your tasting. This is not about works, but this is about a sustained journey going deeper and deeper in Jesus to where He becomes more precious to you. That is what the Holy Spirit enables through the experience of conversion. And so, in closing, we have this verse here in Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 32. Where the writer says, think back on those early days when you first learned about Christ. You're wondering where you are in your spiritual journey? Think back to those early days when you first learned about Jesus Christ. What is interesting, this is the New Living Translation. It's interesting that in my translation it says, remember the former days when you were enlightened, which is the first word that we connected with respect to conversion and the work of the Holy Spirit. For those who have once been enlightened, Hebrews 6, verse 4. Enlightened, once been enlightened. Remember when you were enlightened? Hebrews is reminding us that there is value in reflecting back. And some of you have heard me say this. I'll say it again. I say it in private settings. I'll say it in public many times, over and over, because I think there is value in it. There is value in remembering where we have been. And I regularly, in my spiritual journey, I step back to where I started my journey with Jesus Christ. I don't know how God did it, but somewhere He flipped the switch. And suddenly, I became aware of Him and desiring of Him and wanting to learn more, whereas before I had not. He flipped that switch. And as I regularly, every other week, every week, depending on where I am in my journey, my recitation, my prayer life, whatever that might be, I rehearse those early years of my journey with Jesus and how I love the Word of God. I came to look forward to reading Steps to Christ and the Scriptures as a teenager. And I would sing myself to sleep at night, hymns and praise songs. And I would go to bed, my last thoughts being thrilled with who Jesus was and what He was doing in my life. And I trace my journey, the ups and the downs and some of the plateaus and how faithful God has been to me since that switch was flipped. And I tell people, if you regularly connect with where you were, if you remember when you first learned of Jesus and what was going on in your heart then, it can do something today. And by the way, you've heard me say this, some of you, it helps husbands with your wives also. Malachi refers to wives as the wife of your youth. And I regularly reflect back on who I married. In fact, just 2 weeks ago, Ethan and Amber were married. And I couldn't help but to look at Amber, so beautiful, and look at my son when he saw her for the first time. He was standing quietly waiting, and it was all choreographed that she would come up and touch him on the shoulder. And then he would turn around and see her for the first time. And the look on his face, his mouth, was so big. So big. And she stood there so beautifully. And I could not help but ask myself, how did I respond when I saw my wife on our wedding day? How beautiful was she at that point? Why did I marry her? I tell you, it keeps the love warm in the heart. And Hebrews is reminding us to remember these moments, precious moments of transition, because they have to do with keeping spiritual things alive in our hearts. As we stand together and sing our closing hymn, "Change My Heart, O God, Make It Ever True," ask yourself, are you growing in Jesus? Ask yourself, ask God, am I converted? What are the evidences of that conversion in my life?
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.